exclusive presentation of the LSU Sports Radio Network.
In the air to left field, coming in, Dugas diving to his left, has it out number three. 1-0. Hit high and deep to right field. Giving Chase Servideo, he will watch it go. Back-to-back jacks.
It's time to talk LSU Fighting Tiger baseball.
The pitch. Swing and a miss. Tigers win. Tigers win.
This is the Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Have a question for Coach? Dial us up at 225-578-4827 or toll free at 1-800-315-8255 from anywhere you're listening. Now, from TJ Ribs on South Acadian in Baton Rouge, standing by with Coach Mainieri, here is the voice of your Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair.
Good Monday night, Tiger fans, and welcome in to this week's Paul Mainieri Show as the Tigers come back from a successful business trip to Oxford, where they took 2 of 3 from the Rebels at Swayze Field. This week, they will begin another very important week down the backstretch of the regular season. Tomorrow night, they'll face Grambling at home in the makeup game that was postponed due to weather 2 weeks ago. And then they'll host number one Arkansas at the Box Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On tonight's show, we'll look back to this past weekend, what the Tigers learned coming away from Oxford, what they did well, what still needs a little bit of work. And then, of course, we'll look ahead at the aforementioned matchup later on this week. As we always do, we invite you to join us wherever you are listening tonight. Easy to do here in Baton Rouge. You can dial us up at 225-578-4827. Toll free from anywhere you are tonight at 1-800-315-8255. You can also send us a question live via Twitter at LSU Radio. So get ready for the next hour. We're talking LSU baseball. Coach Mainieri going to join us next after this quick break on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
When the ground shifts beneath you, you can run or you can stand firm. At LSU, our stand is rock solid. Our blood runs hot, even as our heads stay cool. Because now is a pivotal moment in the fight for our future. And we refuse to back down when the world needs solutions. LSU, fierce for the future.
Whatever you bring, bring more. Whatever you personally bring to the SEC table, bring more. Get up earlier. Sing and yell and stomp louder. Enough never is. Not here. Between the magnolias and the azaleas, legends and lore regale us, downright implore us. Bring everything you got, and then bring more.
This is former LSU Gymnastics head coach Dee Dee Bro. I won more than 800 meets in my career, but no victory matters to me more than defeating the COVID-19 pandemic. After months of battling this virus, we finally have a shot that's safe and effective. We finally have a shot that can empty our hospitals and fill our stadiums. We finally have a shot at victory. That's why I got my shot. To get yours, visit OLOLRMC.com. Go Tigers!
Can't just watch. Basically impossible, roundly implausible, to enter the gates of the SEC and be a faint spectator, a fly on the wall, not at all. Excuse yourself to lose yourself in something bigger. The traditions, the superstitions, the fight song in every rendition. You can't just watch. Not in the home of more.
Back with more on the Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney, live from TJ Ribs. Have a question for Coach? Dial us up at 225-578-4827 or toll free at 1-800-315-8255.
Back here tonight at TJ Ribs for the Paul Mainieri Show. Of course, TJ Ribs, the official barbecue restaurant of LSU Athletics. It's home to our LSU head coaches' shows. Of course, they're located right here where we are tonight, Acadian Thruway and Singin Lane. And you can visit TJ Ribs DougAsDiving.com and place your order now. Please welcome to the show our head baseball coach, Paul Mineri. Coach, it is great to visit with you once again on a Monday night. Before we talk baseball and the successful trip taking 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss this weekend, we got to talk about one of the biggest stories in the state today, and that was just a few hours ago, the coming home of basketball legend Kramer's mom, or as many people know, Kim Mulkey. She formally introduced today as the head coach of women's basketball here at LSU, and I know you've been friends for a number of years, and for those who missed the press conference earlier today, I imagine she paid you the highest compliment a coach could ever ask for, and she talked about how you helped mold her young son, who now is a man, in Kramer Robertson. But certainly a great day for our university and a great day for the state.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, it was a day really that we all needed. Yeah. You know, it was a great shot in the arm for our entire state, for obviously for our community, for our wonderful university, for Kim to come back to our state and to LSU. You know, she's the greatest basketball coach in the history of women's basketball, maybe in all of basketball. I was just telling our associate athletic director, Dan Gaston, that when I read her biography last night, I got dizzy. You know, her accomplishments are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, she's won, beginning from when she was a high school athlete, 4 state championships. She won national championships as a player at Louisiana Tech, and she just continued as a coach to winning, as an assistant coach, national championships, gold medals, national championships, conference championships. I mean, this woman is just, the success of her career is unparalleled, and you know, she's a fighter. She's a tremendous ambassador. You know, she's just the total package, and for her to leave Baylor University after an unbelievable 21-year career to come back to LSU, I think speaks volumes about what we have here at LSU and what we have at our state. And I just think it's perfect timing for her, perfect timing for our university, and everybody's so excited. And I was so excited to see Kramer today. I was so excited to see Kim, of course. But, you know, Kramer is one of my favorites of all time. You know, he's just a tremendous young man. We had 4 years together here at LSU, culminating in 2017 when we came so close to winning a national championship. We lost in the finals to Florida. And, you know, he gave his heart and soul to our program. And, you know, I watched him grow up from an 18-year-old to, you know, a 22-year-old man. He's currently in AAA with the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, just knocking on the doorstep to get to the major leagues, and I know he's going to get there. It was great to visit with him today. I know he's so proud of his mom, and, you know, he flew in today for the press conference and then right back out to St. Louis where he's at the alternate site, you know, for the big league team and getting ready to start the AAA season. But it was such a great day for his whole family, for Kim, and really for our university. So I know it's exciting time for women's basketball, but really for our entire university.
Well, no doubt about it. And I wanted to brag on you a little bit because I know you won't do it yourself. But, again, what Coach Mulkey said today during her press conference resonated with me because I am a father, both a young son and daughter. And, you know, it was the only time in her press conference she got choked up a little bit talking about, you know, what Kramer's time meant to him and to her and their entire family here at LSU. And being a coach that's been as successful as you just talked about. I mean, even the story earlier about how she had won the only girl on the youth baseball team as a very young girl. She's been a winner her whole way around. And, again, making the decision along with Kramer to come here. Seeing Kramer back on campus was great because a lot of times, I think it goes without saying, he really enjoyed his time here at LSU. But I can remember back at that age, life comes at you quick, as they say. Next thing you know, you're off to a new adventure. It looked like, listening to him talking in the media the last couple of days, that his time here at LSU really means a lot to him.
Well, it does. It means a lot, awful lot to Kramer. And it wasn't always easy for him either, Chris. Listen, when he came here, you know, he had been the quarterback of a really successful high school football team in the state of Texas. They almost won the state championship. He was highly touted infielder. You know, he came here with high hopes and aspirations and thought he was going to step on campus and be the big man on campus. And he got humbled very quickly. And I'm kind of, I'm not easy on the players sometimes. I don't know how else to say it. You know, they have to, they get what they earn with me. And
And
I wasn't easy on Kramer. I don't care, what his last name is or who his mother is, and I made him earn everything that he got. And at times, he didn't like that, but he knew that I had his best interest at heart. And ultimately, he grew up because of it. And I think if you ask him now, maybe at that time, he didn't appreciate it. But I think now he understands why I was so hard on him. And it made him tougher, and it made him a more confident person. And now that he's banging on the door to get to the major leagues, I don't know that it would have worked out for him the way that it did if we hadn't been that way with him. But, there was a time, I think, where he was considering maybe not even staying at LSU. And, Kim was amazing. Not only is she a great coach, but because she was a coach and a mother, she understood the kind of the method behind my madness, I guess, is the best way to say it. And, she called me up and said, Kramer is thinking about maybe leaving, and, you ought to talk to him. And I certainly did. And I said, Kramer, look, I love you. I think you're a wonderful young man, and I think you're going to be a great ball player. You need to stick this out. And he did. And he became a great player for us, a great leader, and a better player for himself, and led us almost to a national championship. But sometimes as a coach, you have to challenge kids. And sometimes kids run and hide, and sometimes they stick it out, and they become better because of it. And Kramer is one that became better because he stuck it out. And because of that, we're going to be lifelong friends. And I'd do anything for him, and I think he'd do anything for me.
No question about it. I agree that Plan A is the best route to go. And best of luck to Kramer, and, of course, looking forward to basketball season coming up with Kim Mulkey at the reins here at LSU. We got much more to talk about. We're going to look back to last weekend. The Tigers take 2 of 3 from Ole Miss up in Oxford. And then later, before we're done, we'll also take a look at what's coming up this week. Starting tomorrow, the Tigers back in action. It's an early start, 4 o'clock first pitch, Grambling and LSU at the box. And then later, Arkansas coming in for what will be another exciting weekend of SEC college baseball. Fans, Tabasco sauce have been exciting taste buds for over 150 years. So remember, bring the heat to your next game day with Tabasco sauce, the number one pick of the LSU Tigers. Just getting started here tonight. We'll be back with Coach after this. If you're out there listening, got a question for Coach, you can dial us up in Baton Rouge, 225-578-4827, or toll free from anywhere at 1-800-315-8255. We'll also go out to the Twitter machine when we come back, right here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Support your LSU Tigers with Hancock Whitney, the official bank of LSU athletics. From game day to the offseason, Hancock Whitney LSU credit and debit cards are a big win for any Tiger fan. Want to get your paws on these cards? Well, apply online or visit HancockWhitney.com/LSU. Hancock Whitney Bank, member FDIC. All accounts subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply.
Arena seats may have been exchanged for love seats. Thousands of chanting voices replaced with inside voices. Furry mascots are now just cats and dogs. And doing the wave only happens when you see your neighbor. But the only thing that hasn't changed is us watching the game together. It's on, baby! Watch together, cheer together, celebrate together, even if you're not actually together. With Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi, you can stream a game from anywhere in your home and watch with anyone. Cox, bringing us closer.
It takes true grit to wake up every morning dedicated to a higher standard of work. At H&E Equipment Services, we're leveraging our national fleet of equipment with a local approach, working closely with customers to understand their needs and provide them reliability, fair prices, and the support of a first-class service team. We're an equipment company run by equipment people. Where others stop, we continue. H&E Equipment Services, the higher standard in equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service.
It's peak crawfish season, which means Louisiana crawfish are just the right size for boiling. Rouse's has special seafood boiling rooms in stores. Yep, these guys are professional boilers. They start with the prettiest Louisiana crawfish, of course, but the key is Rouse's Down the Bayou seafood mix. It's seasoned with just the right amount of lemon, onion, garlic, and heat. Get Rouse's Louisiana crawfish hot from the pot 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. Rouse's, official supermarket of LSU Athletics.
Hey, it's Matt Moscona reminding you to stop putting around and take a swing around the parish with Breck's six golf courses. Santa Maria and Beaver Creek offer championship designs and amenities, while Webb and Dumas are 18-hole facilities, lending themselves to great golfing value and an excellent experience, while City Park and J.S. Clark are challenging nine-hole courses with easy-to-access locations. So visit golf.breck.org to book your tee time today. Your next hole-in-one is just a few minutes away. golf.breck.org.
Talking Fighting Tiger Baseball. Dial us up. The phone lines are open at 225-578-4827 or toll free at 1-800-315-8255. This is the Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney from the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Back here at TJ Ribs, talking Fighting Tiger Baseball. Quick reminder, the dairy farmers of Louisiana making sure you can fuel your body with Nature's Energy drink. That's real milk, so it's your source of protein, calcium, and vitamin D. This past weekend, the Tigers took 2 of 3 on the road against a very good Ole Miss team. And, Coach, you come off the win, shutout victory against UL Monroe on Tuesday. You got a quick turnaround, as we talked about last week. Travel up to Oxford on Wednesday and then get ready for the matchup Thursday night. Kind of what was the temperature of the team coming off that shutout victory and not a whole lot of time to work on things. You had a practice in on Wednesday night, but kind of what was the pulse of the team when you arrived in Oxford?
Well, listen, playing in Oxford is not an easy place to play, Chris, and we knew that they had lifted the ban on limiting the attendance, so we knew there was going to be packed houses, and you know, behind the Rayfield fence, the students are free to kind of do as they please, as you know, and it becomes a pretty hostile environment pretty quickly, so I think our players kind of embraced that environment. You know, in the SEC, there's usually capacity crowds, and this was our first experience this year of playing in front of a capacity crowd, so I think the players were kind of excited about that and weren't really afraid of it, but embraced the challenge. And of course, we had Landon Marceau going for us, and he went out there and pitched his heart out as he typically does. I think our guys, you know, were very confident, especially with him on the mound. We had had a good victory on Tuesday night against Louisiana Monroe, and Landon went out and pitched great, and our guys were playing really well. And then all of a sudden, you know, we had a rally there, I think around the sixth inning. Maybe it was the top of the seventh inning, I guess. Yep. Top of the seventh inning, we took the lead. And I just thought to myself, you know what, we just fought to take the lead. Let's go right to Fontenot now in the seventh inning. I didn't know if he could go 3 full innings. You know, he hadn't gone 3 full innings, I think, since the Super Regional against Florida State a couple years ago. But I just thought, you know, we got the lead. We got the momentum on our side. Let's go with our best relief pitcher, because Marceau had already taken him out of the game and brought Garrett Edwards in. But I thought, let's go with the experienced guy. And Fontenot went out there in the bottom of the seventh and mowed him down. And I thought that helped our confidence of our team. And then Fontenot just continued to pitch well. Of course, we go to the bottom of the ninth inning. They load the bases. And we end up, you know, striking the batter out to end the ball game. And what a thrilling victory that was for us on Thursday night. So, you know, if you can win one game at Ole Miss, it's an accomplishment. You know, it's such a difficult place to win. We've been swept there before with great teams. So you get that first victory under your belt, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You know, Marceau answered the challenge. Garrett Edwards came in and finished off an inning, and then Fontenot ends up pitching 3 innings for us, including closing out the game. We had a good rally there to take the lead. It was a great victory for us, and we felt really good about ourselves. But we also knew we had A.J. Labus going the next night, so we had a chance. You know, we had a chance to win the series going into the next night.
You know, it was interesting because I told Bill Franquez on the radio broadcast a number of times, to your point, about that first large crowd, the first game on the weekend all season that sounded and felt like an SEC game was on Thursday night in Oxford. It almost seemed like your guys turned that into momentum a little bit. I wanted to ask you about now a couple of days removed, Landon Marceau, who's been so spectacular for you starting off the weekend since that move was made. Your assessment of how he pitched in that game, because, again, you had the early lead, you know, 2-0. They would climb back with the long ball. Your bats lift you up, as you said, in the top of the seventh inning. But overall, how do you think Landon did when people may look at it and go, well, it just wasn't a great outing for him?
I don't understand why people think that. You know, honestly, I just don't understand that. First of all, Ole Miss had a great hitting team. You know, they're hitting over 300 as a team.
I think they were second in the league coming in.
Second in the league. That ballpark is a hitter's paradise. The fences are so short. We get a 2-0 lead in the first inning. He gets the first two batters out within just a few pitches, and then their three-hole hitter is a really good hitter, Graham. Mm-hmm. And he hits a ball that I think is just a routine fly ball to left center field, and it carries out of the ballpark at the 365 mark in left center field and barely gets out of the park. I don't even know if the ball reaches the warning track in our field. And all of a sudden they get a run. You know, they add another home run that was a little bit further, what more well hit a little bit later. And then they hit a third home run. The kid got hit pretty good down the right field line. But overall, I mean, that's a tough place to pitch. And I thought Landon Marceau, he gave up three home runs. But outside of that, you know, he pitched very, very well. And I don't know why people think he didn't pitch well. I thought he pitched extremely well. I thought he pitched his heart out. And it's a tough place to pitch, number one, and he was going against a really good hitting team. So he gave his team a chance to win, which eventually we did win the game. So I tip my hat to Landon. I thought he pitched tremendous.
You know, I've heard you talk about it a lot, and we're going to break here in just a little bit. There's so many teams, not only this year but over the years, there's always either a 1-2 punch or the 3-4 punch in the lineup, sometimes the 7-8 punch. And this weekend, to me, Trey Morgan – and Dylan Cruz, I mean, when they got to the plate, it wasn't just that they could do something individually. It was about when they came up, runners were on base, you just felt like these two guys, you got to battle both of them back-to-back, and I thought it was tough for Ole Miss to handle.
Well, those two guys have been great for us all year, Chris. They haven't played at all like freshmen, and Trey Morgan, in fact, was named the SEC Freshman of the Week, I think. This kid has been unbelievable, and so has Dylan, and Jordan Thompson have all not played like freshmen for most of the year. Trey Morgan was amazing. He felt like he had three hits in every game this weekend. Cruz hit the home run to give us the lead in the seventh inning of the first game. Trey Morgan got the RBI single to I think, did that draw us within one run, I believe, Morgan's base hit, I think, on the 3-0 pitch. We gave him the green light, and he got the base hit to draw us within one, and then Dylan Cruz stepped up and hit the two-run home run to give us the lead, and then we went to Fontenot in the bottom of the seventh inning. So, I mean, the combination of those two guys at the top of the order is a very formidable combination for us, and, what can I say about them? They're leading our team in virtually every offensive category with the exception of Gavin Dugas with the home runs and RBIs. I mean, Morgan and Cruz have been leading the team in batting average all year. I know Cruz has been up there in home runs, but Morgan has, been the table setter for us all year.
Yeah, again, Trey Morgan and Dylan Cruz go 5-for-9 in game one. And, again, the Tigers with the heroics on the two-run bomb by Dylan Cruz to get them over the top. They hold on to a 5-4 victory in game one, a fine start to the series. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll go out to Twitter. Got a great question coming up from Matt. And we'll continue with more. Again, if you're out there tonight, got a question for the coach, happy to take your call. You can also tweet us a question live at LSU Radio. It's the Paul Menary Show. It's presented by Hancock Whitney, and it's live from TJ Ribs here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Whatever you bring, bring more. Whatever you personally bring to the SEC table, bring more. Get up earlier. Sing and yell and stomp louder. Enough never is. Not here. Between the magnolias and the azaleas, legends and lore regale us, downright implore us. Bring everything you got, and then bring more.
LSU fans, show your pride with real Tigers gear from the official online store of LSU Athletics, lsushop.net. You'll find everything a Tiger fan needs, including jerseys, jackets, polos, t-shirts, hats, and more. With an awesome selection of more than 4,100 products, including official team merchandise from Nike. When it comes to team pride, there's only one place real Tiger fans go, lsushop.net.
Can't just watch. Basically impossible, roundly implausible, to enter the gates of the SEC and be a faint spectator, a fly on the wall, not at all. Excuse yourself to lose yourself in something bigger. The traditions, the superstitions, the fight song in every rendition. You can't just watch, not in the home of more.
When the ground shifts beneath you, you can run or you can stand firm. At LSU, our stand is rock solid. Our blood runs hot, even as our heads stay cool. Because now is a pivotal moment in the fight for our future. And we refuse to back down when the world needs solutions. LSU, fierce for the future.
Back with more on the Paul Menary Show, presented by Hancock Whitney, live from TJ Ribs, from the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Tigers in action tomorrow, fans. Just a quick reminder, it'll be a 4 o'clock first pitch at the box. The makeup game with Grambling, of course, you may remember, postponed due to weather 2 weeks ago. So the Tigers able to get that game scheduled tomorrow and then back on Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Alec Boggs Stadium. We're continuing to look back at last weekend. And, Coach, you said it. You picked up that first win. Landon Marceau on the mound. You get the clutch hits, the big hits you needed late in the game to pull ahead, get the 5-4 victory. You know you got A.J. Labus coming in on Friday. And, you know, it was – I actually said before the game, it's what the realtors tell you all the time, location, location, location. And if A.J. had it, he was going to be effective. And again, the young man – just an incredible effort, complete game victory. Again, it would take some late inning heroics, but it was great to see the hitters come and support their starting pitcher, not to mention the defense behind him all game long.
Yeah, well, you have to play good defense behind A.J. He's not overpowering. Like you said, location is key for him, changing speeds. But he's pitched so well for us all year, Chris. He's had one subpar performance. It was his first start of the year against Louisiana Tech. And since then, he has pitched outstanding every single game. His record should be so much better than it is, but sometimes he hasn't had the run support. Sometimes we've blown leads. He has just pitched marvelously for us all year. And, you know, I didn't know if he had it in him or not. Again, the ballpark is so small at Ole Miss. I didn't know what he was going to do, but he was unbelievable the other night. And of course, it was a 2-1 game the entire game, mm-hmm. And he one bad pitch could mean the ball game in a negative way for us, and he's just holding them at bay the entire ball game, and we're getting ready to go to the ninth inning, and you know, I'm asking him after the last couple innings, you know, how do you feel, and he keeps telling me I feel great. Of course, it was kind of a cool night. So he felt like he still had it in the gas tank. And you remember the weekend before, you know, we got to the seventh inning against South Carolina. He was pitching a shutout. He gives up a couple of hits in the seventh inning. They bunt him over. I decide to take him out. It didn't work out. We end up losing the ball game. And I had just made up my mind if he felt good, it was going to be his game to win or lose. I'm not going to put this in the – we had already used Fontenot the night before. He wasn't available. I'm not putting this in the hands of the bullpen. This is going to be A.J. Labus to win or lose, even with a 2-1 game. But then we end up hitting a grand slam. You know, Gavin Dugas hits a grand slam in the top of the ninth inning to give us some breathing room. We send Labus back out there for the bottom of the ninth inning. and he gets him out, and we end up having a tremendous victory and win the series. So it was an awesome victory for us.
Yeah, what I liked about A.J. Labus is, again, he was going up against Doug Nikasi, who the week before had thrown a one-hitter in a rivalry series on the road against Mississippi State.
12 strikeouts.
And you guys were able to hit him. You weren't able to convert a lot of runs, but you got men on base. But, again, A.J. kept you in there, which is all you're asking your starter to do.
Well, A.J. kept us in there, and Nikasi's tough. You know, he's probably got the best curveball in the entire conference, Chris. You know, we had him on the ropes every inning. And in some ways it was encouraging because we were getting to him. Excuse me. In some ways, it was a little frustrating because we couldn't get the runs across, because every time we get the runners in scoring position, I kept trying to get the runner to third base with less than two outs because it was so hard to get hits against that guy. His ERA and his batting average against were both under 200, or under two runs a game, and the batting average against was under 200. So I knew it was going to be hard to get hits against him. So if we could get a runner to third base with less than two outs where we could score just on a fly ball or an infield ground ball, but we couldn't get bunts down. His curveball was so good, it was hard even to bunt it. And so we were getting frustrated because we just could not get, finish the job. We were getting runners on, but we couldn't get them over. We couldn't get them in. And it was getting frustrating. But what was happening was we were forcing him to throw an awful lot of pitches. Yeah. So I think he had like 80 or 85 pitches after four innings, and I knew he couldn't be out there that much longer in the game. And finally, they had to take him out of the game, which was to our benefit because the kid's so good. And we were able to get to their bullpen at least a little bit and scratch a couple of runs across. And then, of course, later in the game, Dugas came through with the grand slam. But Nikasi was tough, and actually later in the game, we were able to get a couple of bunts down. We had the safety squeeze by DiGiacomo, which was perfectly executed, and then we had another sacrifice bunt that was perfectly executed, and I think we had another sacrifice bunt where they weren't able to even get an out at first base. And so later in the game, a couple of bunts really ended up kind of turning the momentum in our direction.
Yeah, Nikasi would throw 107 pitches. Got to give a shout-out again to A.J. Labus. He goes for 126, and again, that grand slam really opened it up. And the Tigers, a 2-1 game, really a scoreless game until the top of the sixth inning, but then a 2-1 game until the top of the ninth when the Tigers got that separation and win 7-2 to take the series in Oxford. Coach, in the last segment before we went to break, you mentioned, hey, you know, any SEC series is hard to win. Any SEC game is hard to win. And there you are on Friday night with the heroics late in the game, the excellent job by A.J. Labus, and you've clinched the series on the road against a really good team.
It's a great feeling. I mean, it's a great feeling to win the first two games, and obviously we desperately need it. You know, we've dug ourselves a big hole in the standings, and now we've won this series, which is a great accomplishment, and we got game three still to play. And we know it's going to be a tough road because we lost Jaden Hill. Jaden's had surgery on his elbow, and he's out for the year. So we're going to do it with freshmen. You know, we're going to try to piece it together. And we know we're going up against a great hitting team. It's going to be a warm day. The wind's going to be blowing out. And we're going to have to play our best game if we're going to have a chance to win this. But it's so difficult to sweep a series at Ole Miss. But, hey, what do we got to lose? We're going to go out there and we're going to let it rip, see what happens.
All right, real quick before we go to break, Matt writing in on Twitter, Coach, wanted to know how Jaden Hill is doing. Obviously having the surgery last week, just wanted to see if you had an update from him.
Well, he had his surgery last week out in Los Angeles. The orthopedic surgeon for the Los Angeles Dodgers performed the surgery. All indications are that the surgery went very well. Jaden is back in Baton Rouge. I did not get to see him today. I'm sure I'll see him tomorrow. He's got a long road to recovery, but Jaden will work really hard. And, you know, nowadays, I don't want to say this is such routine surgery because nothing like that is routine, but Jaden will work really hard and his elbow will recover. I have no doubt that he's going to have a long, successful professional career ahead of him.
Also, real quick, if you go back to Friday night's game one, there was a home run that was ruled foul over the very short foul poles in right field. They went to review and they said it was foul. One of the fans out there wanted to know, after it was decided and reviewed, you had a conversation with the umpires. Is that just to get clarification on
no,
what they saw?
I asked them because normally a coach would have to ask for a review, but the umpire said that they were not charging the other team's coach
right.
with a review.
That's
and I
right.
said, well, why would you make the call and then review it for yourself? You know, an umpire can choose to review calls themselves, but usually it's another umpire that would say, let's review a call, not the umpire that made the call himself. You know, like, in other words, I'm going to make the call, and then I'm going to say, oh, let's go review my call because I might have blown it. You don't see that very often.
No.
So I was asking the first base umpire, why would you be so not confident in your own call that you would want to review it yourself?
Yeah.
That's why I went out and asked them.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought they should have charged the other team's coach with a review, which would have been their second challenge, which would have both been not upheld. You know, they would not have changed the call, and they would have been out of review challenges.
Yeah, I remember looking because that first base umpire was literally on a knee down the line and emphatically said foul.
I should have asked that home plate umpire to review his strike call on that eighth inning full count pitch.
Yes, you're right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Coach Paul Mainieri joining us here at TJ Ribs. It's the Paul Mainieri Show. It's presented by Hancock Whitney, and it's live on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Hey LSU fans, did you know that Planet Fitness is the official gym of LSU Athletics? That's right, and as an LSU Athletic fan, you can get a special offer of just $1 down at any of the 6 Baton Rouge area locations with offer code PFLSU. You'll get free fitness training, tons of cardio and strength equipment, and a totally friendly staff. Planet Fitness is a comfortable place to go at your own pace. You can find out more at planetfitness.club/LSU. And go Tigers!
At BMW, we made the ultimate range of SAVs. And because each of the 7 X-Range sports activity vehicles flawlessly balance dynamic power, spacious size, and sleek design, you can choose from a fleet that fits perfectly into your life. Like the versatile and bold X1, the unbelievably powerful X3, or the luxurious X7. No matter who you are, no matter where you're going, no matter what's next, there's an X to take you there.
Test drive at one of your local Louisiana BMW dealers and take advantage of exclusive offers.
We all know there's something special by growing up in Louisiana. Our culture, our history, how we care for each other cannot be matched anywhere in the world. The same goes for Louisiana Dental Center, local dentists helping local people just like you and me. And of course, for years, proud partners of our beloved LSU Fighting Tigers. Louisiana Dental Center, your dental home team. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Go Tigers!
Get in the game and start the action at Paragon Casino Resort. Play like a champion on our expansive gaming floor. Dine out with a little extra flavor and spice at every meal. Unwind in our world-class spa. Take a dip in one of 3 pools or hit the greens at our award-winning golf course. Finish your night in comfort with a relaxing stay at our incredible hotel or RV park. Down here, this is how we play. At Paragon Casino Resort, located in Marksville, Louisiana.
Hey Tiger fans, I have a question. Got milk? No, I mean real milk. From real cows, nature's energy drink, and your source for protein, calcium, and vitamin D. It helps build strong bodies the right way, and even helps your body recover faster after a workout. So the next time you're shopping for groceries, be sure to pick up some real milk from your Louisiana dairy farmers. Real milk, real good, and real good for your body.
Talking Fighting Tiger Baseball. This is the Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney from the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Hope to see you at the ballpark tomorrow afternoon. Just a quick reminder, the Tigers in action, 4 o'clock first pitch as they take on Grambling. And then the Tigers, we certainly hope to see you on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as Arkansas comes to town. Real quickly, Coach, let's talk about Game 3, the clinching of the series on Friday night. You come back on Saturday, much like in the series before. I mean, you talked about, hey, we don't have that designated third weekend starter, and we've got a lot of young arms, and they're going to have some great careers here at LSU, but right now they're still somewhat developing, and you got to kind of put it together. Coming into that matchup, I thought the most odd thing for Bill Franquez and I on the radio was the way that you hit the ball very well on Thursday, just didn't score as many runs until later in the game.
Friday night, as we talked about a moment ago, you led off with the leadoff man aboard 8 out of 9 innings, but it took the top of the ninth to get going. Your guys got off to a pretty quick start on Saturday's game three.
Chris, I thought Saturday we played our best game. You know, we were really rolling. And, you know, we were hitting the ball hard all day. We were hitting in the clutch. I can't even say really that we were letting opportunities pass. The opportunities that we didn't capitalize on, our hitters were actually hitting the ball hard, but they were hit right at people. So you can't really fault our kids for not really having good at-bats. They hit the ball hard, but just right at people. So I felt like we were really maximizing our opportunities. I thought we were playing great. Helmers did a good job. Money did a good job. And then I was really thrilled with the performance by Javon Coleman, and he did a super job. And what he did in the seventh inning there, Chris, was legendary.
Mm-hmm.
We have a miscommunication on the pop-up to start the inning, which was you know, just not good on our part. The kid flares a base hit into left field, and then there's a base on balls. So we've got now they've got the bases loaded, nobody out, the wind's galing out, and they got their 3, 4, and 5 hole hitters coming up, and he gets them pop-up, strikeout, lazy fly ball to center field. That was unbelievable,
yeah.
To pitch out of the seventh inning that way. And when he did that, I thought, oh, man, we got a good chance to win this game. We're up 9-1. The kid just showed enormous courage and poise to pitch through this jam. You know, we're gonna get through the eighth inning here, and we're gonna go into the ninth inning with a good sized lead. And then the eighth inning, you know, the inning starts with a little humpback pop up that I thought should have been caught. Then he gets the next two guys out. We got two outs, an 8-run lead, and you know, the wheels just kind of come off, and it was just such a shame. And then, of course, you know, the score gets to be 9-5. They get a couple runners on base. I think we got the batter struck out to end the inning. We don't get the umpire to call strike three. And then, of course, they hit a grand slam that, you know, when it leaves the bat, it looks like it's a routine fly ball to center field. You know, 390-foot fence. The ball goes 391 feet,
yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
On track, man, 391 feet with a 12-mile-an-hour wind blowing the ball out. The ball doesn't even reach a warning track in our ballpark,
nope.
You know, and the game's tied. And it was just such a shame because, you know, our kids played so well, and it was just, you know, a very, very tough loss to take. You know, today walking around, I've had 100 people just say to me, you know, great weekend, coach, great weekend, coach. And yet it doesn't feel like it because we had that third game seem like in hand and we let it slip away. You know, it would have been unbelievable to sweep that series. Felt like we should have, could have, whatever you want to say, but it got away from us and it, you know, would have just meant the world to us if we could have just finished off the job.
You know, Bill Franquez, who you and I both think the world of, he's seen a lot of LSU baseball, and as we're wrapping up Sunday, he goes, you know, if things don't bounce our way on Thursday night, let's say we drop game one, and let's say we win Friday and today,
yeah.
9-1 or 9-5, totally different,
yeah.
From winning the first two games. And that's just baseball. That's the way series are made. But I know it was tough. I imagine the team awfully dejected after, as you put it, they played just an incredible game for 7-plus innings and,
yeah.
And look up there and they come up short.
Well, it's just you always remember the most recent thing that happened. You know, it's just human nature. You know, if you lose the first game and win the next two, you're driving home and you're feeling great about it. But when you win the first two and then you play so well and you seemingly have the game in hand, I've been around the game my whole life. Nothing is in hand until you get 27 outs. And it's the great thing about baseball, but it's also the most heartbreaking thing about baseball. You can't run out the clock. You got to get you got to get all 27 outs before you can count a victory. And sometimes you get your harsh reminders.
No doubt. I know you mentioned it after the way that Javon was able to get out of the seventh inning, which was certainly monumental. You can imagine, Coach, when I scroll through Twitter right now, people want to know why Coleman was left in for so long when he would clearly started to get tired. Now, I know you talked about it after the game, but for those people who may have missed it, your explanation or your reasoning behind it. And don't kill the messenger, just asking the question.
It's just amazing, you know. I mean, if you take them out, then they ask him why you took them out. If you leave them in, why'd you leave them in? You know, it's just the nature of baseball. Everybody loves to second guess the manager. You know, that's the love of the game. You know, the kid was pitching great. We got two outs. We got two outs. One runner on base. You know, the kid is pitching great. I can go back and rehash, you know, the two-hole hitter comes up. He's got the guy on a full count. I mean, I can take him out there. If I'm going to take him out, I'm going to take him out before the two-hole hitter is up, right? The score is 9-2 mm-hmm. at that point. Okay, so if I bring in one of the pitchers from the bullpen to face the two-hole hitter and he doesn't get him out, that means that pitcher that I'm bringing in from the bullpen is going to have to face the 3 and 4 hole hitters, the two left-handed hitters. Remember now, Coleman has gotten Graham out two times in a row, including once with the bases loaded, and he's also struck out Duntonhurst, the four-hole hitter with the bases loaded. And he's only thrown, at that point, 55 pitches. He's still got good stuff. And, you know, the count runs full, he's throwing the ball good, and, you know, he throws a strike and the kid hits it out of the ballpark. You know, the next batter hits a line drive. Maybe our second baseman can catch that ball. If he catches the ball, the inning's over, but he doesn't catch it. It's a base hit. He gets a full count on the next batter, and obviously, you know, he hits the batter. So at that point, you got to take him, okay? But if I bring in one of the guys from the bullpen, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, that guy, I mean, the two guys I brought in from the bullpen didn't exactly – get everybody out, Chris. They both gave up home runs as well.
I wasn't going to say, still got to come in and get people out. So.
I mean, you know, it's easy to say you should take somebody out, but who are you bringing in?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I don't exactly have Goose Gossage down there in the bullpen to bring in. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you're making a calculated decision on who's your best option. And at that point, I thought Javon Coleman still had it, and you know, it didn't work out the way we would have hoped, but I made the decision. I thought it was the right decision, and if I had to do it over again, I still think it was the right decision. It just didn't work out the way we would have hoped it would have.
Well, as I said from the outset of the show, it was a successful business trip for the Tigers. They took 2 of 3 in a tough place against a tough team in Ole Miss. We'll continue. We'll put that behind us. Look ahead to tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon's action, I should say, against Grambling. And then a brief look at the matchup with Arkansas coming up this weekend at the box, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll do that when we take a quick break and come back. It's the Paul Menary Show presented by Hancock Whitney. It's live from TJ Ribs right here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
This is former LSU Gymnastics head coach Dee Dee Bro. I won more than 800 meets in my career, but no victory matters to me more than defeating the COVID-19 pandemic. After months of battling this virus, we finally have a shot that's safe and effective. We finally have a shot that can empty our hospitals and fill our stadiums. We finally have a shot at victory. That's why I got my shot. To get yours, visit OLOLRMC.com. Go Tigers!
Whatever you bring, bring more. Whatever you personally bring to the SEC table, bring more. Get up earlier, sing and yell and stomp louder. Enough never is. Not here. Between the magnolias and the azaleas, legends and lore regale us, downright implore us. Bring everything you got, and then bring more.
LSU fans, show your pride with real Tigers gear from the official online store of LSU Athletics, lsushop.net. You'll find everything a Tiger fan needs, including jerseys, jackets, polos, t-shirts, hats, and more, with an awesome selection of more than 4,100 products, including official team merchandise from Nike. When it comes to team pride, there's only one place real Tiger fans go, lsushop.net.
Can't just watch. Basically impossible, roundly implausible, to enter the gates of the SEC and be a faint spectator? A fly on the wall? Not at all. Excuse yourself to lose yourself in something bigger. The traditions, the superstitions, the fight song in every rendition. You can't just watch. Not in the home of more.
Back with more on the Paul Menary Show, presented by Hancock Whitney, live from TJ Ribs, from the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Fans, we hope you'll be at the box tomorrow, 4 o'clock. As Skip Carey used to say on the Braves Radio Network, a businessman special. Not quite that early, but we'll get started at 4. Airtime will come your way at 3:30. And, Coach, I know it was important. You and I sat here a couple of weeks ago, and you said, man, we really need to get that game. It's important to have that game for a number of reasons. It was great you were able to make up the game after weather took it away 2 weeks ago. What can we expect tomorrow? What are you expecting tomorrow when you get ready at 4 o'clock against Grambling?
Well, I'm really glad we were able to get the game rescheduled. Again, our sport administrator, Dan Gaston, helped us get that through, and we appealed to our athletics board, and they saw the reasoning was sound, and it's important for Grambling. You know, LSU and Grambling haven't played against each other in baseball forever, and we started the series back in 2009, and we thought it was important for a lot of reasons to play the game. It got rained out a couple of weeks ago. Grambling has been playing really good baseball. They just finished off a three-game sweep today against Texas Southern. They're scoring a lot of runs. So it's going to be a tough game. You know, we're going to have to pitch well. They've got a really good hitting team, Grambling. They're on a real hot streak right now. So we're going to use a lot of different guys. We're going to have to try to keep them off balance. We're going to have to swing the bats very well tomorrow.
All right. Will we expect Will Helmers to start it?
No.
Off?
Nope. No. Will Helmers will not start. He's actually got an economics final exam tomorrow during the game,
That's
so he
good.
Won't even be available. So we're going to start Mikhail Hilliard in the game. He won't pitch a long time. We'll use a bunch of different guys. Try to keep him off balance. They've got a really, really good hitting team, and they've been scoring double-digit runs in just about every game they've been playing. So we're going to have to really swing the bats well ourselves and, like I said, hopefully keep them, you know, off balance with some different style pitching and so forth and play good defense behind our pitchers.
Well, best of luck to Will and the rest of the Tigers. Hope he aces that economics exam coming up tomorrow. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Our last segment this week with the coach, and we'll look down the line, see how important this weekend series coming up at home as we head down the backstretch of the SEC here in 2021. We'll do that and close it up in just a moment here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
This is Richard Zuschlaw, CEO of Acadian Ambulance Service. On behalf of all the Acadian employee owners, please be careful while driving. Always use your seatbelt and never text and drive.
People's Health is your Medicare health team, and People's Health is proud to sponsor your LSU Tiger teams. People's Health knows that when it comes to health care, what works is teamwork. Every People's Health plan member is backed by a Medicare health team of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and other health professionals. Whatever your health goals, our team's goal is to help you enjoy the best health possible. So compare your Medicare coverage to a People's Health Medicare Advantage plan. Call for your free information kit. People's Health is the official health plan of LSU Athletics.
Support your LSU Tigers with Hancock Whitney, the official bank of LSU Athletics. From game day to the offseason, Hancock Whitney LSU credit and debit cards are a big win for any Tiger fan. Want to get your paws on these cards? Well, apply online or visit HancockWhitney.com/LSU. Hancock Whitney Bank, member FDIC. All accounts subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply.
This is Richard Zuschlaw, CEO of Acadian Ambulance Service. On behalf of all the Acadian employee owners, please be careful while driving. Always use your seatbelt and never text and drive.
Okay, secure the vehicle and check the perimeter. I'll be back in 5.
Yes, sir.
May I help you?
I have an order slip here for a money transport.
A what now?
A money transport. It's wrote right here. Stacked cash.
Oh, Stacked. The new family of games from the lottery.
Play the Stacked family of games loaded with cash prizes. Win up to $200,000.
Look alive. We've got valuable cargo here, son.
How many stacks today, sir?
All of them, son.
Pick up the Stacked family of games today. Win up to $200,000. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
50 years ago on Easter Sunday, Breck's Baton Rouge Zoo proudly opened our doors, and we've been hopping ever since. 5 decades of connecting people with animals, teaching our community about the problems facing wildlife and how we can help, and working with zoos across the world to protect endangered species. Today, our future is taking flight by stretching the possibilities of what your zoo can become while we keep it fun and affordable for everyone. Thanks for coming along.
This is the Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Finishing up our time this week with Coach Paul Mainieri. Nice enough to join us each and every week. Hope to have you here on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Coach, I mentioned tomorrow you're in action 4 o'clock. And then I won't say a non-quick turnaround because I know it comes at you guys fast, but a little extra time in the sense you play on Tuesday and not playing on Thursday. But Arkansas coming to town, currently, number one in the country, 32-7 on the year. They're 20-4 in SEC play. They have only swept one SEC series, which I took note of earlier today. There's a number that they took 2 of 3, but again, it shows you how hard it is to sweep, how hard it is to win. But boy, LSU and Arkansas, there's been some, even in the 6 years I've been here, man, it has been a great series, some big battles. I don't think it's going to be any different this weekend.
I wouldn't think so, Chris. We've had some, I have a lot of respect for Arkansas's program. Dave Van Horn is a great coach, and, they're number one in the country. Chris, after this weekend, we will have played 7 series in SEC play. 6 of those 7 series will have been against teams that have been ranked in the top 10. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yeah. So we have played the number one most difficult schedule in the country by the metrics that they use to determine RPI. The number one strength of schedule in the country is by LSU, and you can understand why. So, we're hanging in there. If we could have those 3 games back that we had the lead in the 9th inning or 8th inning or whatever, that seemingly had games in hand. We'd be right there in the thick of things, but we didn't. We weren't able to close them out. But it shows how close and competitive we've been. And, after Grambling tomorrow, we'll turn our attention to Arkansas, and it'll be a Donnybrook, We'll be right in there fighting. Our kids have final exams this week, so they're going to be a little bit distracted, of course. This is, the end of a grueling semester for them academically, and so they're going to have to work real hard this week academically. But, Friday, a lot of them have exams, but hopefully they'll be able to turn their attention Friday night to the ball game, and we'll have Marceau going for us and hopefully play very well.
No question about it. I'm sure once they get their studies and their exams behind them, they will be ready, looking forward to this matchup. We did have a couple of questions on the Twitter machine in regards to Game 3. You and I do this show on Monday, which, again, depending on which side of it you're on, can be a lifetime away from the weekend because you're focused on tomorrow. Game 3 starter, still kind of something you'll take this week, analyze, and then get ready for Sunday's game?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about this coming weekend?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm just worried about Game 1 right now. I'm just worried about Grambling right now. But,
right.
Of course, Marceau will start Friday, and then Saturday, I'm pretty sure it'll be Labus. We extended him, and there's a possibility we could move Labus even to Sunday, and then TBA Saturday.
Gotcha.
I just want to make sure that AJ has enough rest after throwing 120 pitches, in a complete game effort. If he needs an extra day rest, we can always slide him to Sunday. But as of right now, the plan would be Friday, Marceau, Saturday, Labus, and then to be announced for Sunday.
All right, Coach. Well, we're looking forward to another great week of baseball. We'll be back with you tomorrow around 4 o'clock. Grambling comes to town, and again, we'll be there this weekend rooting for the Fighting Tigers in a great series. Thank you, as always, for your time, and best of luck this week. Get after them.
Sounds good, Chris.
All right, fans, that's going to wrap up our show for this week. I want to thank Coach Paul Mainieri for his time, Jeff Palermo here on site, and Nick Diaz back in the Capital One studio. We thank you for joining us wherever you are tonight. Hope you'll be back here next week, same time, same channel. And until tomorrow, from Alec Box Stadium, this is Chris Blair saying so long, everybody, and go Tigers.
The Paul Mainieri Show, presented by Hancock Whitney, is an exclusive presentation of the LSU Sports Radio Network. This broadcast is intended solely for the private use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or internet streaming is prohibited. The LSU Sports Radio Network, a division of LSU SP and Play Fly Sports.